Acts chapter 9. And of course, we'll be studying this in Sunday school coming up in a few weeks, Lord willing. But in Acts chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way is the Christians, amen, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and pray that God would help me as we preach from His Word. Our Heavenly Father, I call on You again tonight. I thank You, Father, for the privilege it is to be here at church. Lord, I thank You, Father, that, Lord, that You saved us by Your grace and made us part of Your family. Lord, we can come here and fellowship together and worship You together and pray one for another. Thank You for that great privilege we have tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd bless this little congregation. You'd bind our hearts together and love one for another. Help us stand for Thee. Help us, Lord, to be the witnesses we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to earnestly contend for the truth which was once delivered unto the saints. Father, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge in these last days. Lord, I know that You're soon to come. Lord, You're coming, I believe, is soon. Father, Lord, though You come in my lifetime or not, Lord, help us to keep looking for Thy coming. And help us to be ready when You do come. Help us to occupy till You come and do the work that You called us to do. Lord, we ask You not now that You'd be my helper as I try to preach. Lord, please cleanse me of all sin and fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and clothe me in the calling You placed upon my life, Father, as You always have. I thank You for that privilege. And Lord, we'll thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in Acts chapter 9, of course, many of you have read this story many times of Paul's conversion. And Saul here is the Apostle Paul. The Lord changed his name later on to Paul. They started calling him Paul, which means little, I believe, if I remember my past studies on that name. But anyway, Saul here was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. And he went to the high priest. He obtained letters from the high priest to bind all Christians that he would find in Damascus and bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Back in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, we'll be studying this in the next week or two in the Sunday school lesson. But in verse 54 of chapter 7, the Bible says, when they heard these things after Stephen got through preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now, I want you to notice here that Stephen had preached to the Sanhedrin council, and he had went through the history of Israel and told them what they had done to Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah, amen. And the Bible says that when he said that he was full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he said, I see the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And the Bible said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. They ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And so we see here they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was one of those standing by. He was one that held the clothes of them that stoned Stephen to death. He heard Stephen preaching. He heard Stephen saying, I see the heavens open and Jesus at the right hand of God. And he began to kneel down as they began to stone him to death and pray for those that were stoning him to death and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then in chapter 8 and verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. In other words, he said, yeah, put him to death, kill him, he deserves to die. At that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so Saul was exceeding mad against Christians. He wanted to put them to death. He wanted to put them in prison. He was standing by as he saw Stephen stoned to death and was consenting unto his death. But he heard that message. He heard the gospel story. He heard that Christ was seated and standing at the right hand of the Heavenly Father awaiting His coming into heaven. Amen. And of course, I want to preach tonight on from persecutor to preacher, amen, on the life of the Apostle Paul. And of course, we're not going to hit everything in the life of the Apostle Paul, but from this portion of Scripture, I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 9 that as Saul went to Damascus with these letters in his hand from the high priest to bind Christians and take them back to Jerusalem to be tried and maybe put to death, he was confronted by the Savior. In verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I want you to know the confrontation that came here with the Savior. Amen. We see the light of the presence of the Son of God. There was a light that shined round about Saul above the brightness of the sun, Saul said. And he lost his eyesight because of it. He saw the glory of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he came down that day and confronted Paul, or Saul, there on the Damascus Road. And so we see the light of His presence and of His Word here. He began to speak verbally to this man named Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now what Saul was doing, he thought he was doing for God. He thought that he was doing God's service. But he was very wrong. The Bible teaches there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He thought, well, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a Jew, I'm a descendant, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as touching the law, blameless, and I'm doing God's service by getting rid of these Christians. That's what he thought he was doing. Until he was confronted by Jesus Christ on that Damascus Road. And so the light of the Lord's presence here is in his midst. And then he hears the Lord speaking to him audibly. Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, his physical eyes were blinded when he saw the glorified Christ on the Damascus Road, but his spiritual eyes was beginning to be opened, amen, as the Savior confronted him. And so we see here there's a necessity of confronting the sinner about his lost condition, about his condition in which he is in. And, of course, there's a necessity of preaching for people's eyes to be opened spiritually. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I believe the Lord Jesus encountered Saul of Tarsus and began to speak to him and reveal himself to Saul of Tarsus as he spoke. Now, when Jesus speaks, he's speaking the Word of God. When I speak, when I preach, I'm to preach the Word of God. Amen? And as I preach the Word of God, that enlightens the understanding of those that are simple or those that are in spiritual darkness. When the light of the Word of God is expounded and preached, it opens blinded eyes to the fact of their condition. Amen. And of course, Saul's eyes were being opened as he was confronted by the Savior. And then I want you to notice in verse 4 and 5, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I see, not only was he confronted by the Savior, but he was convicted of his sins. Amen. Here in this particular portion of Scripture, the word pricks means conviction here. That's what the Bible is speaking of. Now, Saul had heard the testimony of Stephen. He had heard Stephen preach, and no doubt he had heard other Christians give their testimony as he persecuted them and voiced his disapproval of them and had them bound and had them put to death. I'm sure that many had prayed for him, that many had witnessed to him, that many of those Jews that got saved on the day of Pentecost and after, amen, had confronted Saul of Tarsus with the fact that Jesus Christ was the Savior, the Messiah. And so we see here in verse 4 that when he fell to the earth, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you've got to put yourself in Saul's position here. You're walking down the road one day with some of your friends. Suddenly there is a light shining around you above the brightness of the sun, and you are physically blinded. And you fall down in the road, you don't know what's going on. And suddenly you hear an audible voice from the heavens speaking to you. And the Bible says that the voice of Jesus Christ is as the sound of many waters. I'm sure that that voice got his attention. Amen? And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul, in his blindness, because of the great glory of the presence of Jesus Christ, said, Lord, who art thou? What is your name? Who are you? And he referred to him as Lord because he knew this was a heavenly thing that was happening. This was a great thing that was happening. This was an unusual thing that was happening. It had to be from God. And he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm the one that you've been persecuting. You've been persecuting my children. You've been persecuting my church. You've been putting my children to death. You've been giving your voice against them and having them thrown in jail. Right. And you're persecuting me. And so we see the conviction here of his sin. The Lord Jesus said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What pricks? The pricks of the conviction of the Spirit of God. By hearing the gospel preached by Stephen and other Christians that he had persecuted. And the prayers that they had prayed for him. You remember Stephen knelt down and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He was praying for those that was persecuting him. And so he's convicted by the Scriptures. He's convicted by the saints. He's convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. The pricks. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, and Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I believe that Stephen had lifted up Christ in his testimony and his preaching. The other saints had lifted up Christ. Jesus Christ himself had spoken to him audibly. And the Spirit of God had been working in his heart. Amen. And so he's convicted of his sins. John 16:7, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. I go not away. The Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If anybody gets saved, the Holy Ghost is going to have to convict them. They're going to have to be pricked by the conviction of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the testimony of the saints of God. God uses these pricks to get people's attention. 2 Peter 3:9, I quoted it this morning, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even this old persecutor of the brethren. God wanted to save Saul of Tarsus. He encountered him on the road. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to give my personal testimony tonight. I've told it so many times here in the church. But the day that the Holy Ghost brought me under Holy Ghost, deep Holy Ghost conviction, there was a glory of God in that little church building that I can't explain. Now, I don't know if you experienced that or not, and I'm not trying to fit you into my experience, amen. I'm just saying the day that Jesus Christ set my soul free, amen, He was convicting me, the Holy Spirit of God was convicting me in that little church house that Sunday morning. And I could not tell you what the preacher preached or what they sang or who was there and what they did. From the time I walked in and sat down in the pew to the time I left that church, the Holy Spirit of God was convicting my heart, telling me that I was lost, telling me that I would go to hell, and I need to get saved. I need to trust Jesus Christ that morning as my Lord and Savior. And all through that service, the presence of the Lord was so real in my pew. The presence of the Lord was so real in my pew that I couldn't hardly see outside that pew. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not, but I experienced the conviction of the Spirit of God, the presence of the Lord. And I shook and I trembled and I feared. He got my attention. When I went home, the Holy Ghost said, if you don't get saved today after I reveal myself as I have to you, you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. This is your last chance. And I took the last chance, amen, and I got born again into the family of God. But it was the conviction of my sin. I saw myself a sinner. I saw myself lost. And I trusted in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But it was the Lord that convicted me. Through the Scriptures, through the saints, but through the Holy Spirit as well. And so Saul was convicted here. He said it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And then we see he was converted to be a saint, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, what did he say? Arise, go into the city, it should be told thee what thou must do. Now, there are several things in this portion of Scripture that I want you to be aware of. Paul said later on in one of his epistles, said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. Amen. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he pinned it down and he said no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit of God. Right. You have to be born of the Spirit to call Jesus Lord and mean it. Amen. And so he said, Lord, after Jesus had revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus, and he said, I'm the one that you're persecuting. Oh, Saul of Tarsus realized for the first time in his life that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the one that Stephen had preached about. He was the one that all these saints have been talking about. He's the one that had changed their lives and made them as they was, and now he realizes for the first time that he's been wrong all along. I thought I was serving God, I thought I was doing right, but I was doing wrong. I was persecuting my Messiah. I was persecuting my King. I was persecuting the Lord. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And in that term, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, there is a surrender of his life and his will to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what it takes for any person to be saved. You've got to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your heart and your life to him. Amen? And so he's converted to be a saint. 1 Corinthians 12:3 said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And so he accepted Jesus Christ there, I believe, on that Damascus road. Not only we see here that he was converted to be a saint, but he was chosen to sow and suffer. In verse 15, 16, the Bible says here, but the Lord said unto him, talking to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus for a purpose. In fact, he saves everybody for a purpose. There's not a person in this building that's saved that the Lord did not save you to fulfill a purpose. Right. He gave you purpose for living when he saved you. I didn't know the purpose of my life until I got saved. I didn't know that I questioned, why did God let me be born into this earth not knowing what I was supposed to be? But when I got saved, the Lord began to reveal to me what He allowed me to be born for.
Right.
I'm doing what I was allowed to be born for. God saved my soul and God called me to preach. And God saved your soul. Maybe He's not called you to preach, but He's got a purpose for your life.
Right.
Whatever that purpose may be. I can't tell you what God's purpose is for your life, but I know what His purpose is for my life. I know the reason that He allowed me to be born. I know the reason why He allowed me to be born in the family I was born in, where He allowed me the places that I've been, the things that I've done. I know it's a learning lesson, a process.
Right.
Now, I can't see the whole picture like God, but I can see part of it. God allowed things to happen in my life to bring me to that saving knowledge of Himself. But Saul was chosen to sow and suffer. Once he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Lord said, He's a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to show him what he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Not anybody, not just anybody could have went through what Paul went through. See, there's some folks just not constituted that way. They're not made that way. They don't have the strength. They don't have the ability. And what I'm saying is that Saul, God knew his abilities, but God had to bring him to the place where that he didn't rely upon his ability, but God's ability. But God had chosen him to sow and suffer. 1 Corinthians 4:9. Paul said, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles' life as it is appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. That's what Paul said the ministry was. What other people thought about those holy apostles. He said, I think we've been set forth last. And he said, as it were appointed to death. Do you know that every one of those apostles died for the cause of Christ? I think John is the only one that didn't meet a martyr's death. But they crucified Peter. They killed James with the sword. Every one of those holy apostles were put to death. They took Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, Nero did, and put his head on the chop block and chopped his head off. They were appointed unto death. And God said, I'm going to show Saul what he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. So he's chosen to sow and suffer. Sow the good seed of the Word of God. Plant New Testament churches throughout Asia Minor. Before his race was finished, amen, and then suffer many times at the hands of sinners for the cause of Christ.
Right.
Right. Everywhere he went, they throwed him in jail.
Right.
I mean, they beat him up. He was shipwrecked. He was in perils in different places. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, "Are we the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one." 5 times they beat him. 5 times they beat him with the stripes of the cat of nine tails, I guess. I don't know what they used on it. But they beat him. It wasn't no switching, amen. It was a beating. And so he said, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." Not switches, but rods. "Once was I stoned." They stoned me. Now that's how they put people to death. In fact, they thought he was dead, and he may have been dead. I don't know, but the Lord raised him back up over at Philippi. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep." A whole day and a whole night, he's floating out there in the Mediterranean Sea. "In journeys, journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Paul's life was filled with service for Jesus Christ, but in that service, he had to suffer. It wasn't glory. Paul did not experience glory. Now, he may experience some glory in the Holy Ghost, but he didn't experience the glory in the service of Jesus Christ. He experienced sufferings. The glory was yet awaiting him. Amen. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ did, was not in his glory as he walked on this earth and done the Father's will. He was not walking in glory. He received his glory when his service was over. And Saul saw him in glory and was blinded physically. And we're not going to be in glory in this earth, in the service of Jesus Christ. Our glory awaits us if we serve Jesus Christ. And so Saul was chosen so and suffered. Not only that, but look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." He didn't say indwell the Holy Ghost. He said filled with the Holy Ghost. "Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them that call on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." We see here that Saul, after he got saved, was controlled by the Spirit. When people get saved, they are controlled by the Spirit. Amen. You're born of the Spirit. You're made alive by the Spirit. You're indwelt by the Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. And once you're filled with the Spirit, amen, you need to serve the Lord in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I want you to notice in verse 18. In verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes, had been scales, and he received sight there forthwith, and rose and was baptized." one of the evidences of salvation in a new convert's life is the willingness to submit to believer's baptism.
Right.
It's a testimony of the world that that person has received Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. For Saul of Tarsus to go through believer's baptism was a great, great step in his life. It would have been a scary thing. Because he's no longer identifying himself as Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, but he's identifying himself as a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, as a believer in him, as the Messiah of Israel. And for him to go through the baptism, he's openly telling all those Jews in Damascus, I am now a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've died with Him, I'm buried with Him, I'm resurrected to walk in newness of life. I'm a new creature in Christ now. And I'm going to live for God. Amen? So he submitted to believer's baptism. And then in verse 19, the Bible says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. I want you to notice here that he assembled with the disciples. He was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, verse 28. So one of the first things that Saul of Tarsus did when he got saved, he submitted to believer's baptism. He began to testify, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he began to testify about Jesus Christ, and he joined himself to the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's like joining the church. That's like going to church. That's like getting around believers. Amen. And that's the proper steps for a new convert to take. Believer's baptism. Be a witness for Jesus Christ and join up with other believers. Amen. And so we see here that he was controlled by the Spirit of God. He was competent with the Scriptures in verse 22. Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. How did he prove it? By the Scriptures. He had to prove it by the Scriptures. Now, and of course, he was already a student of the Word of God, but he didn't understand the Word of God until he got saved. Lost people don't understand the spiritual things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Before Saul was saved, he was a natural man. And so he could not understand the spiritual aspect of the Scriptures. But when he was born again of the Spirit of God, his spiritual eyes was open to the fact that Jesus Christ, and he didn't have the New Testament Scriptures, he was proving to these Jews from the Old Testament that Jesus was the Christ. He was competent with the Scriptures. He studied, he increased in strength and knowledge, in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When people get saved and they follow the Lord and believers' baptism, join up with the other disciples, become a witness for Jesus Christ, and begin to pore over the Scriptures and feed on the Word of God, they increase in grace, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They grow. They desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Newborn babes desire that milk, the milk of the Word. Natural newborns desire the milk of their mother, or the formula, or whatever they're being fed.
Right.
They desire it. They get hungry. They got to have it. Amen? They got to have it. Is that not right, Sister St. Orr? Amen? They let you know if they don't get it. When they get hungry, buddy, everybody knows that they're hungry. Amen? And a baby Christian, you'll know if they're hungry for the Scriptures. Amen. There'll be, I got, I don't know how many books I got, and I just, and I'm not gauging everybody but myself, but when I got saved, I bought a Bible, King James Bible.
Amen.
I wore that Bible out in about 2 years. I mean, wore its lap out. I read it and read it and read it. I read it at home in the morning. I read it at work at lunchtime. I read it when I read it on the job when I got a break. I read it when I got home. I read it a lot when I first got saved. More than I do now. I still read it, but not like I did when I first got saved. I was so hungry to find out about my Lord and what the Word of God taught. I was hungry for it. And I started buying books. I started asking my pastor what's a good study help and things like that. I was trying to pore over the Scriptures and find out things, and he said, you need to get your concordance. I said, what's a concordance? You know, I didn't know what a concordance was. He told me what it was and said, get you a Strong's concordance. I went and bought a Strong's concordance. I said, what else, preacher? He told me some commentaries to buy, and I bought them. Man, I started buying books and started reading commentaries and searching Scriptures through Strong's concordance. Didn't have a computer then. Amen. It's a lot quicker and faster now, but man, I was searching through the concordance and the commentaries and seeking out from the Word of God the truths of the Word of God. And I bought hundreds of books. I got hundreds of books that I bought at bookstores and thrift stores and yard sales and everywhere else. And most of them I hadn't read. But I bought them. I said they might be a good study help. And some of them have been good study helps down through the years. But I was hungry for the Scriptures. I wanted to know what the Word of God taught. And I still want to know. If I run across something that I don't understand, I try to study it out or pray it, Lord, give me understanding of it. Amen. I want to know what this Bible teaches. And I believe that Christians ought to have that desire in their heart. Saved people ought to have that desire in their heart. Saul was competent in the Scriptures. He studied the Bible. He knew what the Scriptures taught. And he used it to be a help to others, to reach others with the gospel, you see. And so not only was he competent with the Scriptures, but in verse 20 through 29, don't want to take time to read all that again, but he was courageous to speak. I mean, it didn't bother him to get out there in the highways and the hedges and tell folks what had happened to him. Now, I'm talking about somebody that had come to Damascus with letters in his hands from the high priest, chief priest, to put Christians in prison, put them to death. And he knew that there was other Jews that thought just like him. There was other Jews that wanted Christians put to death. But after he got saved, he had the boldness of the Spirit of God and went out and witnessed for the Lord. He was courageous to speak. Jeremiah 1:8 says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Saul of Tarsus, or Paul the Apostle, was not afraid of their faces. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. He was not timid about doing that. Now, he would not have done that if he hadn't been saved, born again of the Spirit of God, emboldened by the Spirit of God. None of us would be a witness without the boldness of the Spirit of God. Amen? But he was courageous to speak. Of course, he was commissioned for service. Saul was not a lone ranger. He joined up with true believers. He was baptized by believers. He witnessed to lost people. And he tried to do the will of God the right way. He talked to other believers and got opinions about things, no doubt. And it's good to get opinions of other people. When I was a young Christian, I asked questions. I would go to my pastor. I'd go to Christians in the church and ask them questions, not for arguing's sake, but for the sake that I wanted to know. I wanted to know the truth and do right. And Saul was courageous to speak the word of God, but he was commissioned for service. And he was commissioned by the church, the New Testament church. Acts chapter 11, verse 25. The Bible says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I wonder why they live like Christ. Well, the Bible says Barnabas, who was a Levite, I believe he was, that had got saved. And Saul, who was a Benjamite, who had got saved, he was a Pharisee, got saved. And they fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They went over to Antioch, a little church in Asia Minor, and they assembled themselves with that church for a year and taught much people. And then the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they're teaching them how to live like Christ, to follow the steps of Christ. And the Bible says here, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So they were entrusted by the church to take this money to help the poor believers in Jerusalem. Those that were struggling financially, those that was lacking material things. This church at Antioch had took up a love offering and sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they trusted Barnabas and Saul. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them.'" So as they fasted and prayed, as these prophets and teachers began to pray, have prayer meetings, and fasted for the will of God to be done in that church and in their lives, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them." And the Bible says here, if I can find my place, and where am I at? "And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them," the laying on of hands was their commissioning, the church, the local church, commissioning Barnabas and Saul to do the work that the Holy Ghost had singled them out for. So they laid their hands on them, that's an ordination, so to speak, and sent them away. They sent them out to the mission field. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost once said, "I want you to go." The Holy Ghost once told the church, "Barnabas and Saul's the one I'm sending. Not Lucius, not Niger, or any of the rest of them, but Barnabas and Saul." And so, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. That is John Mark, young John Mark. And so John Mark went along with them. But the Bible says here that they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now, that wasn't a local church. That was a synagogue of the Jews. They're going into, so to speak, enemy territory and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. And so he was commissioned for service. And then God blessed the ministry of Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. Jesus Christ singled him out to be an apostle of the Gentiles. He sent Paul into the Gentile world. And as he went through those cities of Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica and Colossae and different places in Rome, and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and New Testament churches were planted. And he established them in the truths of God. It was not just Paul doing all the preaching and all the teaching, but Barnabas went with him, Silas went with him, John Mark went with him, Timotheus later on, and different ones that helped him in the ministry to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, he suffered. He suffered physically. He suffered at the hands of people and was in prison many times. But he concluded his steps. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says here, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul concluded his steps. When he went to Rome, the Lord told Paul, said, "You got to bear witness of me in Rome." He got to witness to Nero, the crazy emperor of Rome. The one that had his own mama put to death and they say burnt Rome down. The one that used to put Christians on poles soaked in oil and light them for lanterns. He got to share the gospel with people like that. He got to preach to kings. He got to witness to people in Caesar's own household, and people got saved in Caesar's own household. It's amazing how God used Saul of Tarsus. He was chosen to sow and suffer, and he concluded his steps faithfully. He sowed and he suffered. And then he went home to be with the Lord, amen. And now he's in glory with the glorified Lamb of God, the one that appeared to him on the Damascus Road. In 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I tell you, old Saul of Tarsus that got saved, amen, he said, "I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, I hurt the church, but I obtained mercy because I did those things ignorantly and unbelief." 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, "I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul said, "I'm the least of the apostles, but I am what I am." Like old Papa, I am what I am. A lot of you don't remember Popeye, do you? But Paul said, "I was a nobody until Christ saved me. He found me on Damascus Road and saved my soul and called me into the ministry. I was a nobody. And the things that I did, it wasn't me doing it. It was the grace of God working through me." Philippians 3:3, he said, "For we are the circumcision." Talking about Jews. "We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. He's a saved you. And have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Saul of Tarsus was made conformable unto His death. He died because he was doing good, spreading the gospel, the good news that Jesus loved the world and gave Himself for it. Amen. He suffered for the cause of Christ. I'm not glorifying Paul. I'm glorifying the Christ who saved Paul. Amen. Paul saw himself as a nobody. Amen. God took somebody in religion. He was a somebody in the religious realm. He was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. The Lord took a somebody in religion. Amen. A who's who in Judaism. Amen. He humbled him, saved him, made him a great servant. Amen. The Lord wants to do the same with us. And thank God He has done some of those things with us. But are we following the steps of Christ? Can they say that we're Christians? They were called Christians first at Antioch when Barnabas and Saul was over there teaching the saints of God how to live for the Lord. We need to conclude our steps as Saul did. Finish our course. Keep the faith. Amen. At the end of the road is our crown if we're faithful. At the end of the road is our crown, our glory, our rejoicing, our heavenly home. Amen. Our peace eternally at the end of the road. Right now, we've got to sow and suffer. Amen. So be faithful in the Lord's service. Amen. Let's stand together tonight for prayer. And we'll take our hymn book and turn to page 366. While Margaret comes, page 366. We'll sing the old hymn, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You again for all that You've done for me. Lord, we're so forgetful sometimes of the great things that You've done in our life down through the years. Lord, we failed You in many ways, but Lord, I'm thankful that You're faithful. Forgive us our sins when we confess them. Lord, I thank You, Father, for the memories, Lord, that You've allowed me to remember tonight as I remembered things that You did for me when I was saved. And Lord, I pray, Father, that each one that's in the building tonight can have good memories of their salvation and, Lord, their Christian service. Lord, may we all finish the race. May we all keep the faith. And may we all, Lord, get to the goal that we're striving for in Your service. And we'll thank You now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 366, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Let's sing together. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. rest beyond the river, near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me, there the bride.